Good morning to you. I tell you what, this is the first time I brought a bottle of water up with me this week, this time. You know, this was a week that was different, a week where pollen finally had its way with Arthur Shepherd. I've looked at people my whole life and said, pollen, besides my car getting dirty, what's wrong with pollen? I now know. It laid me out. I deserved it. For all those years, not being empathetic. But a grand and productive week on top of that. How God takes care of us. He looks out for us. He blesses us in so many different ways. So you heard a new message series, 2 Peter. So I'm going to kick us off there in these 2 Peter, first chapter, verses 1 through 11. And title of the message this week is... there we go. Effective and Productive Believers. Now, that's a different title, but you're going to see why in a minute. Because really, any time a pastor's up here, there can be some very same titles each week. The goodness of God. The faithfulness of God. The greatness of God. Because all each week, that's what we point to, is God's faithfulness, His greatness, His goodness through salvation, godly living, the Holy Spirit inside of our lives, moving us forward, blessing us, getting us out of the way of ourselves, and coming in the place of injury and things that beset us. And when we're having difficult times, God is there. He never, never lets us go. God is faithful, even when we're not faithful. But I titled Effective and Productive Believers because you're going to see that in a few verses, what it means to be ineffective. Unproductive. And I also know, too, that in my contacts with people throughout the week, whether it's in the church or not, most people desire to be effective and productive in their everyday lives, in every area of their lives, if not all areas. I'm sure you're one of them that wants to be effective and productive. And as a believer, for those here that are believers, even if you're in a setback time of your life, being effective and productive in ministry is a call in our life. Did you know that? And then so here Peter, what he's going to do. Peter is going to provide this, just lovely outline for us in these verses 1 through 11. Going to show us a way through salvation unto godly living, perseverance, and to living out our calling. Peter, you know, he's worth listening to. Peter spent, 3 years in listening to Jesus every day of his life? And even in all that, like many of us, he has stumbled. I stumbled. Yet by the grace of God, he was forgiven greatly. Peter was there to witness the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. He received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He preached, and he's the one that identified it. And when he told him, this man, Jesus... He is both Savior and Lord. And 3,000 were added to the church that day. Peter, man that we want to listen to, is inspired readings by God and has so much to say to us. In our song we heard about we're fighting the battle he's already won. That's what Peter's doing with us. He's preparing us for the battle of our lives. Those are the new century Christians. They were going through the big time battles. There was false teaching coming about, and what else was happening? Persecution. In other words, they weren't living the high life. And then dealing with false teachers and having committees and coming around and say what we're going to do, and I'll meet you at such and such restaurant to talk about it. That isn't how it worked out. But Peter implored, encouraged, directed, used his weight of the being with the risen Messiah and the Old Testament scripture to move them along. Effective and productive believers. I'm going to give a quick survey here without a raise of hands or a voice. See if you can do both at the same time. No voice and no hands. You should be able to do it. How many of you, believers, I'm speaking to you, the children of God, how many of you desire to be effective and productive for the kingdom of God? I think I've shared this with you maybe somewhat before, but just 2 weeks ago, not this exact meeting, I was at a meeting again at NAS Pax River, because these are biannual meetings. They're twice a year. The Navy and the county government meet together. Commanding officer and the executive officer with other Navy, both civilian and active duty staff, are there along with the five county commissioners and department heads. And talking generally about, one of them was about leasing property, the county leasing property from the Navy, a county Navy land swap, Lexington Park redevelopment just outside of Gate 2 of the Naval Base, an intergovernment service agreement. I don't want to excite y'all so much. I see it just brewing here. And a sustainable communities initiative. So those were the little things that need to be done. But you also could hear them words blended in, mixed in of national security, technology, state of preparedness, military readiness and capabilities, on and on. And then you're sitting there with a little bit of pride in those meetings because of what we think of our U.S. military and how effective and productive all the time, reaching for peace through military strength. So Peter here, he's gathering the church up, and he's saying we need to be effective and productive, and you can do it. And we need to have ministry readiness. All God's people to be ministry ready if we're going to be effective. The day has gone, church, where church is the Sunday default, Wednesday night, and ministries as we known them. Creativity, technology, readiness, all hands on is the marching orders for the New Testament church in 2024. Let's get ready. But I also know, too, that a day like today is not just talking to the believers. There's some here that are looking in, that saying, hey, what is he talking about? What does he really want? What is the importance of being a believer? What's at stake here? The way I see it, my life's pretty good. Some of the believers that I deal with, their life isn't so good. And I see some little chinks in the armor. Tell me more. Be glad to. So let's go to our scripture this morning. Are you ready? Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Oh my. Salvation's precious, isn't it? Huh? Is it? Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The righteousness of God, being right with God, right standing with God. God is always right in everything he does. Salvation. That's what salvation is. Now going from on the outside to the inside. Separated from God. Fractured from God. Can't come into God's presence, but now being eternal presence, both now and forever. Our salvation begins and ends with God. And Paul writes in 2 Timothy, he says, God desires that all be saved. Everyone be saved. But yet, here's the other thing. Based on what we know in Scripture, we don't deserve it. The Holy God sees us as that I can't have a relationship with the humanity. But through this man, Jesus, both Savior and Lord, we can have a right standing and right relationship with him. Now, and then on top of that, not only you just got that and we put a stamp on there and say saved, we can have what we in Christian vernacular is an abundant life with God. How would I classify abundant life? How many of y'all like peace? How many want some peace this afternoon? Come on, you know you do. We love peace around the house. We love peace in our mind. We want peace with God. We love peace. We're a people of peace. People sell everything they have to go somewhere to find peace. God offers peace. That's the abundant life. You're no more living in guilt. Everything that suppressed you now, you know you can battle for it in peace. because you know God is faithful. He does his part when we don't do our part. We want peace. We want peace in our home. And we know we can't have peace in home just because we desire it, but we know that peace with God offers us to be the vehicle in our home that it can offer peace to the rest, so that one day with our children and everybody else, we can have sustained peace in our home, in our relationships. It's a precious gift from God. Peace, salvation. And see, our ministry readiness also begins with salvation. Every ministry that we do, we find ourselves in the end of the day, is so people can come to know the Lord and be saved and be considered a child of God. There's different ways to get there, but in the end, that's our mission. But here's another fact I want to tell you. We're not just sitting here gathering today to be on the sideline and see, well, how can this be done? John, another apostle, was with Peter, Jesus. Here's what he had to say. What Jesus had to say in the Gospel of John. Excuse me for saying that. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Every believer in this room is living life eternally as we speak. You'll never die. Life on this earth might end, but you'll never die. Grasp that. Grasp that strength. You will never die. God has called you out. Anybody listening, you want to have peace with God and have it eternally, you come to Christ today, you'll never die. Life is yours. John said that, and I read that some years ago. Man, that makes somebody salivate. To be effective and productive for what the Lord's done. When I stumbled, he gave me peace. He gave me forgiveness. Then he says, "Arthur, your eternal life begins now. You'll never die. Let's go." And I jumped on the boat. I have a military question for you. Can we go back to the military for a second? You're thinking about salvation and how precious what it is and what it means to us. But think about this. I left there and the days went by, proud of living in our country and grateful for what God has done. So I'm going to ask you a tough question. Let me set the table for you though real quick. You know, everything you read and you see, and which is, you know, is all right, everything about the United States military is going to rank in what? At least minimum top three, if not number one military in the world, correct? You don't have to. Number two is our economy is the same status. You can look it up. I did. Top one, two, or three in the world. But I'm going to ask you a question. Would you rather live in a country with military strength and economic flourishment, being in the top three, yet you're separated with God from all eternity, or live in a country in the bottom half, yet are chosen and saved by God to live in his presence forever? Why'd I ask that question? See, here, we have it all. We live in the presence of God. Major wealth, opportunities to make wealth. And we have a military that keeps us in peace here at home. And there's nothing we're lacking to be ministry ready. There's men and women all over the world giving their lives for Christ that don't see any opportunity whatsoever. And as you can see from the television screen, their land is being invaded. Church, God's been faithful to us. God's been good to us. The goodness of God we can't surpass, but we can be ministry ready for his sake. Can't we? Sure we can. Let's move on. I'm going to read this all the way through 3 to 11, if you'll allow me, and then we'll come back and we'll work our way out. And I'm going to tell you something, be ready, because in the end, we're going to have some theological questions and answers. But I hope we can get through that too. I hope I'm up to the task for you. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 11 goes on to say, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. When I first read that weeks ago, I stopped right there. I put a period on godly life because I said, you kidding me? We have everything we need for a godly life. Because sometimes it doesn't feel like we're scratching and clawing for a godly life. This, that, moreover, but he says, we've been given everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and what? Goodness. God is good. God is good all the time, and God is good. Though these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, promises of new life, life eternal, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, for this very reason, Peter goes on to say, because you've all got all this goodness, this faithfulness, this escape, that you could have been left to the world. I can't imagine being left to the world now. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that makes me think, if I keep these qualities, I can be effective and productive. That gives us a hint, doesn't it? A tip on how to live out our lives. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. That's why I want to say your personal life, your married life, your work life, and your ministry life. And we're talking about ministry readiness today, and effective and productive. It all begins and ends with our salvation. See, when you forget what you've been saved from and what you've been saved for, you'll go back to some of your old ideas. You'll go back to some of your old places, might not physically, but in your mind. But when you remember the redemption at the cross for you, how can you help but spring forward? How can you help but raise both your hands and say, I'm in? How can you help but say, I once was lost, but now I'm found? I was dead on the side of the road, and you lifted me up, and you made something good out of me. Our ministry readiness depends on our salvation. It begins and ends with that. How a man or woman looks at the preciousness of their salvation, of the grace, of the gratitude, of the joy, of the deliverance, what God's done for them, redeemed them, cared for them. Then they'll go. Man, I trust this place. Do you realize a redeemed place here in this location that we sit on this highway and in these large communities that surround this place, the ministry readiness that we can have and have for a community and a world right here that we don't have to go anywhere if we're excited about our salvation and we don't look at it as something that happened yesterday? And we don't tell it about, hey, I was baptized at 12. No, I'm saved at 43. I'm saved today. The power of God's in me through salvation. I'm motivated for ministry. Sign me up. Let's go back to verses 3 through 4. I'm not going to take you back. It says everything we need for godly living, and it's based on His glory and His goodness. Based on God's glory and God's goodness. Great and precious promises. Salvation. And then He didn't just send us out. We're far more than military ready. You know what we are, don't you? Ministry ready, but you know what we have? The Holy Spirit. There's nothing that can get in front of a man, whether it's training, conferences, conditioning, that outpaces the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's God Himself living inside of men and women. That's what any of you in this room could have. If you're saying, well, my life doesn't stack up, well, maybe you just haven't looked inside because it stacks up farther than you know, because God lives on the inside, and I can't imagine that's not stacking up against any enemy. It's ours for the taking. Peter says so. He calls it out. He knows. We know. Then it says one of the great promises and special promises that we escape corruption of this world. Who wants to go back? And it's all based on the goodness of God. See, the goodness of God says tells us once more it's undeserving. It's undeserving. We all can make an exchange. We all can make an exchange. We can barter this for that. But God says nothing. Nothing you bring. It's God's grace and goodness that delivers you. That's what it is. Everything we need for a godly life. So what I think, practically, instead of living in a life of tension, anxiety, what's wrong, is understand, if you're a believer, what you have. You have everything you need for godly living. Now map it out. What does that look like? Do I believe God's promise for my life that I have everything I need? Or am I going to stay on this side of the ledger and continue to fret? Anxiety. Let me see. Instead of putting that foot in the water. You know, there was anxiety. I'm going to tell you another military story. My father was in the military for 20 years. You talk about anxiety. I don't think I can tell my father like that. Can we? I'm going to just skip that story. All right. So, no, I don't know what naval base we were on, but it was time to swim. And I thought, well, teach me how to swim, Dad. Well, he did. He threw me in. That was the deal. So now, believers, sometimes we stare at that water until we're never getting in. Sooner or later, we've got to jump, don't we? And far greater than the assurance of an earthly father is that knew he was going to keep me safe, and I was delighted I went in, is the Heavenly Father's never going to let you down. He's not going to do it. He's not going to ask you to be involved in any ministry that you won't succeed and flourish in. I remember when I first came back and at the church, they asked me to lead something. I said, no. But once you get accountable, once you open God's word more than what you were doing, once you, all of a sudden, there's veracity, there's appetite, there's assurance. There's no place you'd rather be. It's what you've always wanted, but either you were frightened, whatever that came in there wasn't letting you go. But once you jumped in, God changed everything. And He'll change it for you. All those special promises. Here He says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting they have been cleansed from their past sins. What are they? Goodness. The goodness of God. God has, after each one of us believers, to model ourselves after his Son, Christ-like. Add Christ-likeness to your goodness. Add self-control. In any ministry, in any form of leadership, self-control and self-discipline rise to the top every time. Leadership can only come when a man can lead himself, a woman can lead themselves. Self-control, self-discipline. Godliness. One of the toughest things is to be a godly man, but not lead a godly life. And there's a promise. God says, if you'll turn it over to me, I'll produce godliness out of you. Because many of us have tried to be godly and lead godly lives and only see it come and go, flicker and flame. But until we rely on the Holy Spirit and God's goodness and faithfulness, we won't mature. Here in our knowledge of Christ. See, Christ's whole role, he said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. Even in an eternity past, we talked about a few weeks ago at Palm Sunday, the plan was that Christ was going to die for the sins of the world. Man could not reach God. They need a Savior, somebody to take on their penalty, their sin debt. Some of us in here may have been a whole life trying to get our life straight. You're not. Today you come to the cross. You come to Christ. You have knowledge of salvation, that you're separated from God, and the only way to have peace is to come to the fact that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day, took on your sins, and now you can be seen as righteousness, and he's the sin bearer. And then you can have everlasting life. Your frets won't get you there. Your trying won't get you there. But Christ will. That's the knowledge of our Savior. And perseverance. Two sets of perseverance here. One is our own. It's going to require self-control and self-discipline. That's to persevere at anything. But here in your Christian life. But I'm going to be honest. Do it alone, but we have somebody. We have the Holy Spirit's going to lead us through there. But also we're going to talk here in a minute about perseverance that God's provided for us, that we will never lose our salvation. We're going to persevere to the end. Don't use your anxiety on that. Once you're called by God, once you acknowledge him through salvation, you are eternally home. You are home. You've landed, and now it's the godly life that you want, and God desires for us to be ministry ready. Yeah. Mutual affection. You know, mutual affection should be the hallmark of the church. They're just, their church just should be just come on with that. Didn't have anything better. Mutual affection. This is where people of God come to do things of God for God's glory and for the hope of salvation. Looking for the best in one another. Seeing the best of one another. Delighting in one another's company. Want to share that with somebody else so that they have a place where they can rest assured in their salvation and a purpose for ministry and a hope that takes them not just till they're 45 but till they're 85, 95. God has a plan for everybody in this room, no matter your age, where you come from. And then lastly, love. That's a pretty trite, easy word, but the reality is God says we couldn't love because you know why he said? You love because I first loved you. Everything about our love comes from God. He said we'd just be a humanity that's scattered about doing our thing and think it's in the name of love, but really it's in the name of self. He says, you love because I first love you. ministry ready. Before I get to this last section, but it's going to take a minute still. I was reading a book. How many of you can show me a hand on this one? How many of you heard of the pastor John Piper? Oh, pretty good. Well, a couple books of his. One's just a thin book called Wasting, A Wasted Life. Now, he's a pastor, author. Been in training, not with him, but videos. And John, I like hearing from him, how he expounds the Word of God. And here's what he said. He says, I'll tell you a tragedy. He says, I'll tell you a tragedy about your life and ministry readiness. He says, I'll show you how to waste your life. He says, in that book, he says, I'm going to tell you basically how to be ineffective and unproductive. So this book's about 14, 15 years old. And the story he told was from Reader Digest 25. So I'm going to give you context, a 40-year-old story. So I don't know anything about that. He said a couple took an early retirement. He was 59, she was 51. They moved to Florida where they would cruise on their trawler boat, play some softball, and collect shells. And John Piper went on to say, can I get this picture in your mind on Judgment Day? Look, Lord, see my shells. Check it out. See what I've done. It reminds me of the parable of the talents. He said, that is a tragedy. God created us to live a life of passion, both effective and productive through his righteousness for the mission of the gospel for as long as we live. We can do it different ways, different places, different times of day, but our lives are for the gospel readiness, the gospel message of hope. Now, when I first received this, because as we're going through the series, they're blocked out, and then, you're preaching this one, then I love 10 through 11, but I'm gonna be honest with you. Then as the time preparation time got on, it began to be, wait a minute. These 11 verses in 30 minutes, these 11 verses one time, do you realize how rich what you've seen here, that this, if you've caught anything, you catch this coming here, because this is rich. These first, but one thing I did delight about it, you now can take this and you can read again, or sure, and get some things out of it. But he says, of all this, Peter says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. You have an idea what he means there? For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Peter's the king of stumble. And he said, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Make every effort to confirm your calling and your election. You know what your calling is, don't you, Christians? We said, one, it's in the ministry, but really his calling was he called you unto salvation. Confirm it. Well, tell us how to do that. And your election, we know through Scripture, we can see it, that while God desires all people to be saved, but yet God is, we agree that God's fully sovereign. As the Bible talks about the elect, chosen. God has called you out unto salvation. He has chosen you for salvation. And now let me go on and read something for you. Let's go to some theological richness. Here's how we want to end. Paul's talking here. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Called unto salvation. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us, Peter's saying. What is our response to this great salvation we've talked about today? What is our response to this mini ministry readiness God is looking for us today that Peter's spoken about? See, our sovereign God, he wills or allows everything in this life. There's no surprises to God. God is sovereign even over our salvation. He calls, predestines. And there's a lot of questions, theological questions after that. But also we know that he desires that all be saved and there's a choice to be made. And man has free will, must make that choice. There isn't a stamp put on you, saved or not. But so over here is God's sovereignty and power. Here is man's free will that God allows to make that choice. There's some of you in here today need to make that choice. So you can be who God's called you to be. You can find yourself a home church that you can be ministry ready. The word of God will come alive to you. What you can't read and hear and seems distant will no longer be distant. It'll be on the front porch. God desires each one of you. And then for those of you who've been Christian for some time, but you're not ministry ready like you should, he's calling you too. He's calling you into ministry. And he'll persevere. Nothing can separate us from the love of God for those that believe. You might be going through something. It might be antagonistic to the way you feel, but it's only for a short while. God will deliver you. That's his promise. He wants you to hang in there under anything that's besetting you because he said, in the end, I'll deliver. Even if the worst of all accounts, that one day, instead of being over here where it's all milk and honey and waiting for heaven, we're over here enduring for Christ's sake, winning the lost over here because one day we'll be with him. God has so much for us. We can't even fathom what he has for us. We're lost to it. I can't put it into words for you. But I do know this. I know what he did for me. I do know this. Once I was blind, but now I see. God will deliver you to put you right where you're born to be. His timing's impeccable. His goodness is something that we just can't comprehend. But God is good all the time. Trust his salvation. Trust that he offers you everything for godly living. Trust his special promises of perseverance, hope. And that he saved you for a purpose. He wants you to be ministry ready. We're going to sing now about the goodness of God. Team's going to come up. And then here in a minute, I'm going to invite you to stand to sing this song, The Goodness of God. About his faithfulness and about who he is. And then when that song's over, I'm going to dismiss you. And by then, some of our prayer team will be up front, pray with you. And then it'll be your turn to go from here to respond here possibly, but leave here and respond to God this afternoon in your own way and say, I'm all in. I want that salvation you're talking about. I don't want to look back. I want to go forward. I'm headed forward.